Hey, this is Ariel, and you're listening to Plenty of Cringe, the podcast where I give you my most horrific dating stories, as well as some of my friends and comedians who give you theirs as well. On today's episode is Mike Peters. He's a Binghamton, New York comedian. Mike has no kids, three cats, and no taste buds. We'll get to that in a minute.
So first off, let's start off where you can be found. Obviously, you have your show, but if you want to get into that a little bit for me.
Oh, are we starting the episode now? Mike Peters, I'm a comedian out of Binghamton, New York, and I do shows all over the area when it's not a pandemic. And I've got a podcast called On the Mic with Mike Peters, where I interview comedians all over the country, really. I just got a couple of people from L.A. and, you know, the Utica, Scranton, Syracuse, Rochester area. So if you're funny and you've been doing stage, you know, we get a bunch of stage time, then I'll have you on my podcast.
I like how you lumped Utica and Scranton both in there because they both mean jack shit anywhere.
The Office fans know it.
That's the only thing it's known for.
When I tell people that, I do shows in Utica, they're like, where? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it.
Nobody cares about us. Nobody cares about us up here. It's worse because I'm actually not quite in Utica. I'm out in Rome. So instead, the reaction is, all right. Nobody wants to talk about Rome even more than Scranton.
Yeah, I would think Rome is Woodstock, and that's not, I don't know if Woodstock was right there.
It was.
Isn't it close? Okay.
It looked nice before all the fires, so.
Yeah.
And now it still looks the same as the fires from 20 years ago.
I was 11 years old when the second Woodstock happened, and I remember hanging out at my buddy's house, and his brother and sister went to Woodstock, and they left a note for their mom in the fridge, and on the note was a condom. And I had no idea what a condom was. I mean, I barely know what it is now. But I was like, all right. And I was like, that's how they do things in this family. Fantastic.
That's just how they do things in this town. I'm surprised that anybody had a condom to use, though, around here. So that checks out.
Well, that was a Binghamton guy. So we're classy.
Oh, all right. Yeah. No, my dad was a cop for Woodstock. So, like, he would tell horror stories of, like, the officers were told you could not have your gear on you, because if you got stuck in like a mosh pit scenario, you'd lose your weapons, you'd lose your handcuffs. So it was a huge thing. He also won't let me go to Denny's after midnight still.
Yeah, but is that for safety or nutritional value?
I'm assuming it's safety, but it's probably both.
Okay.
Probably both. I mean, I haven't eaten anything at Denny's in the last 20 years that made me go, oh, I should come here more often. So,
well, whatever you've had in the last 20 years that's from Denny's is still in your system.
It's like swallowed gum.
Exactly. It takes at least 20 years to pass.
Okay. So I brought you on because, first of all, I'm obligated now that you're running everything. You've set everything up for me. I have to bring you on. If at any point there's monetization in this from 30 years from now, or I need to pay bail money, when that's done, you'll get the penny pocket change. What are they called in the movie? Points?
Residuals.
Yeah. You'll get the end spot. So now you can go and tell everybody, when I make it big in prison, not for performing, just for being there, you can be like, I started her podcast.
Absolutely. Now, I have a really good recipe for a hooch. So if you need that, let me know.
We'll get you started 6 months ago before COVID. I don't know why you're waiting for me to go to jail. They were talking about shutting down liquor stores. I was like, I called my mom crying. It's like, I can't do this. I can't go out. I can't. She's like, you never left the house anyways. I'm like, but now it matters because they told me I can't.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think everybody needed toilet wine, but now it kind of sounds appetizing.
That's the only kind of wine you need after 25. So other than the fact that you're, you know, obligated now, I'm assuming, I think you said something on your podcast. You said something about you would use Tinder at some point. I'm assuming, don't get mad. I'm assuming you're single by the amount of cat pictures you post on Facebook.
Yeah, I have three cats and then like a million cat photos. So I am fully content on being single for the rest of my life. I have Tinder. I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but I do have Tinder on my phone, but I forget it's there until like I get the notification that I'm going to be hidden. And I don't ever want to be hidden, which is like why I do stand up. Like, I need to be in somebody's line of vision. So I'll open it up and use it like, do you remember Hot or Not in a long time ago?
Excuse me. I constantly ranked pretty high up until the point I stopped using it. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. I had mine on there. I think, I mean, it would have been in college, like 2003, probably 2002.
And like 13.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You were, how did Epstein like you? Yeah. But yeah, I think I ranked like a 7.2, which I'm like, awesome. Like that's a 70. I almost never got that in school anyway. So I was cool with that. But yeah, I used to like Hot or Not a lot. There were two sites that I really liked and they're kind of similar and they both remind me of Tinder now. Hot or Not and ratemypoo.com, where you rated somebody's poop. So it was, they didn't hide much in the name. But I spent hours, more on Hot or Not, but like my buddies and I would sit around and critique, like seriously critique the photos. Like it wasn't even like, oh, is she cute? Is she not? It was like, well, that photo's blurry, knock off a point or two. You know, if there were two people, it's like, well, who do you want to, like we would deduct points by how ill thought out your photo was. Like we want to know what Ariel looks like, not Jen or Ariel. Like pick one and then we'll go. So we were really, really harsh on that stuff. And Rate My Poo was just fun. And I saw one, this isn't at all what you asked, but it's always on the forefront of my mind. But I saw a turd with a flag in it. It was like it was colonized. And so we're like, that's the best one ever. So
you're describing the same site.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. I don't even want to, that's for a different episode, the Rate My Poo. So it's funny you said that because my girlfriends and I used to do the same thing. We'd find a guy and we'd be like, oh, well, he's clearly using a 2.1 megapixel camera, you know, because it was the day of like 2.4. So you weren't cool anymore if you didn't have a rate.
When you see somebody like really flashing a bicep or, you know, holding up a fish or a trophy deer or something like that, does that immediately turn you off?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's worse because like I grew up fishing. I grew up pheasant hunting. Like I am the weirdest redneck ever. There's actually a tattoo on my ribs of a pheasant feather fishing lure. And if I still see anything, and it's one step below a Confederate flag with the hashtag MyHeritage on it. Like I don't, absolutely not.
Here's how dumb I am. I know what a pheasant is because like I feed my cats pheasant every once in a while on a, like a holiday and like out of the can. But when I hear pheasant, I automatically think rodent. I have no idea, but it's not, obviously, but that's where my mind went. I don't know why I had to tell that, but.
My bigger concern is that you have pheasant in a can. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. You got to go to the right sites to find it. It's like black market cat food, but, you know, I found it.
Okay, well, I'm there all the time, and I have yet to get any canned pheasant. Okay, that's. All right. I mean, you eat it too? Is it like, does it actually taste like? I'm not sure.
No, I mean, like I'll lick the top of the can because like it's their food, but.
Okay.
Your face is horrified.
I just think of all of the gross people and things I've put in my mouth and I still am like, canned pheasant, not up there.
So no, I never eat cat food, but I used to get this argument in college all the time and I stand by it, but do you remember the cartoon, or not the cartoons, but the commercials for Alpo dog food? It's like a, like this savory gravy meat. Like it just, I would tell everybody, I'm like, listen, I would not eat dog food, but that looks good. And I think they would argue with me because they're like, no, that's gross. I'm like, but you're not seeing my point. Like I'm not going to eat the food. I know it's gross, but it looks delicious. And they would never bite on that. So
isn't there like a stew, like a Dinty Moore or something that's the same thing, but marketed to humans? Like, isn't it the same thing? It's like fake beef stew in a can.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I've had like, you know, the chunky chili or whatever, and it's not completely different, but I was just like, I look at that photo in the commercial. And I'm like, damn, why can't I cook like that?
I would be concerned if you could cook like that. That's not exactly, I'm not going to rate you on your 5-star, but like if you're bringing women home, regardless of you staying single forever, because the cats are a full-time obligation. I get that. You know, you have a lot going on. I don't know if I would bring a woman home and being like, listen, I made it just like that Alpo commercial. Like, just throw it right up. I can't see her coming back a second time unless, like, the only person I picture really into that is, like, a 35-year-old woman who looks 65 with bleached hair, who looks like she got off the back of a bike and has, like, a heart tattoo on her chest. There's probably Tweety Bird on her ankle. There's a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. That's, like, the only type I think you could attract with that.
Have you met my mom? Because that's very.
Speaking of, what is your biggest absolute no? Say you match up on Hot or Not or Rate My Poo or whatever it is you're on that you're finding up at. What is it that you see and it's instantly like a nope, done deal, like minus the fishing and the, oh my God, everybody hikes. I don't understand how these people are climbing mountains all day and they have time to get on Tinder. Like, what is your big nope?
Well, I don't know. Like, let's go physical, appearance-wise. I don't like ear gauges. And like that stuff kind of weirds me out. And I'm a punk rock guy. Like I can't not look at it. So I feel like if I matched up with somebody and went out to meet somebody or if I saw a woman at a bar, it doesn't matter how nice she be. I mean, I feel kind of bad saying it. Like, I don't think I could take my eyes off the ear gauge. Like the, you know, if it's like a quarter, cause it was huge. I mean, no pun intended, but it was getting to be a huge thing in high school back in like the early 2000s. And there's this one woman there and she really, I mean, she was very goth, but like, or goth or however I say it, but like, it's so dismissive, like very pretty anyway, but like without the ear gauges that were like a 50 cent piece. I don't know. It creeped me out. I'm not a huge tattoo guy. I'm not, I don't know. I see a lot of women with like half their head is bald and I don't know, like I'm more traditional. I don't know. As far as like, I would never say no to like a woman with kids. Like, yeah, that's not necessarily true. I would never say no because of the kids, but
that is the only reason you should say no. That is the only reason you should say no.
I want my own kids. So like, I don't know. I feel selfish saying it too, but like, I don't know. And honestly, I don't pursue anybody really online anyway. So I really just use it for Hot or Not.
It's still a thing.
Oh, I don't know. I think so. But I use Tinder like that. Like, wow. Like any of those sites, like I use it in the most superficial way because I don't anticipate meeting somebody on it. So I really don't give a shit. Like I'm more apt to run into somebody at a bar who will ignore me. And I'm like, okay, I can sit on that for 3 weeks and then start the process over again. Like I really, I don't know. Like I'm not against online dating at all. However you meet people is how you meet people. If I met somebody online who I really enjoyed, that's great. You know, and I've met a couple of people online and, you know, one's one of my really good friends. And so I just don't know. Like I try not to be superficial, but I think everybody's a little superficial, but it's weird. The thing that would turn me on though is like the shared sense of music and humor. And I don't, you don't necessarily like see that on, especially the humor on somebody's profile.
Well, I'd have to disagree on that because my method of flirting is to be as awkward as possible and hope that they're like, for example, my Tinder bio, because I've done for trial and error and research and science and also because I'm scared I'm going to die alone. I've been on a bunch of different dating sites. And after some point in time, you kind of get tired of writing out like 2-3 paragraphs every time, uploading pictures. So my Tinder bio just says something like, you might swipe right on me if you want to harvest my organs, and I might swipe right on you if I'm going to use you in my stand-up next week.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah, except it backfired because I keep getting messages about how like some guy either wants to make a skin lamp or rearrange my organs. Like it backfired. It really backfired. There's so many weird messages about like what type of appendage they're going to take and like now, why kidneys aren't worth it.
When you say rearrange your organs, is he going to med school? Is it like, I don't know, like.
None of them are going to med school. They if it's not sexual, they definitely are harvesting my organs and it's probably for meth. So that's not a thing up here. We have very limited doctors. You said into this because you pointed out the gauges.
Did you have them at one point?
No.
Okay.
My parents wouldn't let me, which was like the best thing I could have ever gotten from them. Was like the one thing, like I couldn't take Dare and I couldn't watch Inspector Gadget and no gauges. And like, I'm only thankful for the gauges. So that's cool.
Wait. You couldn't take Dare?
No, my sister and I were not allowed to take the Dare program in school.
Okay. So it seems like they're pretty, first of all, if they won't let you watch Inspector Gadget.
I know it's a thing.
Did they not like, you know, dogs with brains?
I was allowed the cartoon. I just wasn't allowed the action one.
Oh, so they just didn't like shitty movies.
I don't know. Like, they let me watch Braveheart like 4 times and I.
Yeah, no, that's fine. They're like, no, if you're going to watch Matthew Broderick, watch Glory, watch Ferris Bueller, watch War Games.
We didn't watch any movies. We were very sheltered. It's just Inspector Gadget was a big fucking no.
Oh, okay. That's I've never seen the movie. That's the thing. Okay, so Dare, like, I don't understand that. Do they want you to be like completely clueless on drugs of everything? Like it's weird.
He was a very okay. So we weren't allowed like AIM, which I get because predators and you know ASL was a big thing you could lie about and get kidnapped over. And then we weren't allowed little things here and there. But like Dare, I never got because his reasoning behind that, I guess, was it's going to introduce you to drugs. Like not in a knowledgeable way, but like oh, everybody who takes Dare smokes weed later.
Most people do drugs, so it's not like the Dare officer was like okay. This is marijuana, and this is where you get it.
He might have been. I don't know. I wasn't allowed to be there. For all I know, that's why all of VVS then went to weed the next year.
Okay.
Boom. Started in sixth grade, and I just didn't because I didn't take Dare.
So Dare is the gateway drug.
That's what I think we were raised to understand. Yeah.
I get it. I suppose. That's just very weird. And like, so I feel bad because you missed out on McGruff. Like, he was a hero of mine.
Who the crime dog is? Like, I mean, it's kind of like what's that friendly forest fire bear? Like, I'm
Smokey.
Aware. See, you know, I don't.
Smokey
I'm
the bear, yeah.
I'm aware of who he is. I just didn't get to like put on the drunk goggles and like write a paper, like get a sticker. Nobody gave me ice cream. I had to sit in the library while everybody else ate ice cream and talked about how they were never going to do drugs.
I don't remember getting the ice cream or the goggles. Like, and the thing is, like, when you say I wasn't allowed to write a paper, it seems like he saved you.
I mean, now like I got to go sit in the library by myself, go do whatever the hell I wanted while these kids had to learn about drugs. I mean, I don't know. They all seemed like, you know, it was a great thing. They all got to do. They all got to learn about how they were going to do their drugs. I didn't. I had to learn the hard way by going to a SUNY school 10 years later. And that, you know, it's one frat house too many. We weren't allowed Dare. I don't remember the point of that.
It's going to sound, I think it's like brutal.com or something like that. There's something where I saw one video a while ago. It was like, it's just like, I'm not into it, but this woman went in there and obviously it's porn. She knows what she was doing, but like she was just fucking brutalized. And I think it's brutal.com or something to that effect. Oh, I just couldn't do it. I mean, like I tried to jerk off to it, but like I didn't feel good about it.
There's always that one that like you get done and you go, oh, I've gone too far this time.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna tell anybody about that unless I'm on a podcast.
That's I'm just saying everyone has had that moment where they're like, oh this is a shame cleanup. Okay.
Yeah.
Delete all your browser history. You're like, I don't even know how I got there. Like I looked up one thing and now I ended up with, no, everybody's done it. My favorite is you go and if you search one thing and it doesn't give up quite what you want, but it's in the right realm, you're like, okay, so maybe if I just move the words around, it's an entirely different thing, okay? It's entirely different. If you move that one context of whatever you're typing in, you're going to have a bad time. And that was when I learned that I should probably get a VPN. All of the internet searches.
You know what I'll do? I'll get into this thing where I'm like, okay, well, I want to watch an entire movie, like an old school porn movie on YouPorn or Pornhub or whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, I watched 14 minutes today. Make sure I remember the timestamp because when I come back tomorrow, I want to watch exactly where I, you know, left off. So it'll take me like, I don't know, let's just be generous and say it'll take me a week to watch an entire movie. Cause like sometimes I'll forget to, you know, clean the pipes, but like, you know, I'll wait a day or two and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like very close to pulling up a note file, like porn and then leaving the title of the movie. And then, my fear is that I'm going to die. And then somebody's going to be like the masseuse. The fuck does this mean? So okay. That's the movie, by the way.
I forgot my phone at my mother's house last week. And now I don't have a password on my phone. I don't care. Like, when I die, I've already asked several people in the area to just destroy all of my accounts because I Google weird shit all the time. Pterodactyl porn, it's a thing. I've sent it to many people. Giraffes, how do they throw up? Snakes fucking. Things that I've Googled just to learn about, okay? So I already know my history is fucked. Something's gonna happen. I'm never worried if I leave my phone out. There's no password. And then I remembered, as I'm sitting here away from my phone for 24 hours thinking there's no password on that phone. What's the worst somebody could find? A couple pictures? Like, we all know what I look like, whatever. I'm like, okay. And then I thought about it and I went, what did I watch last night on Pornhub? Oh my God. So that was the fastest I've ever begged to get a cell phone back in my hands. Like, I don't even use my phone. And I was like, oh, somebody finds that, I'm going to, there's, I mean, it's not jail time. It's nothing like Epstein, but it's bad enough that I'm probably going to end up mandated shrink. Like, it's bad.
Right. Like, you know? Like the next family reunion is going to be very awkward.
I mean, it would be anyways, but like, this is just going to give me and my uncle something to talk about now. Like something. You obviously do comedy. So like, have you ever had a date show up to one of the shows?
Kind of. We weren't date. Okay. So I produce a lot of shows. I went out 4 times, I think, with this woman who she said she liked comedy, and like, she probably did and does, but she came to the show, and I know one of the shows she was late. She didn't see me because I hosted it. And but she complained about having to pay admission once. And like, she didn't think she was going to get like a girlfriend discount or something like that. She wasn't entitled like that. But she thought we ended up arguing because she said that the $5 admission charge was too much for the comedians. And I actually told her to eat shit. So like it's the only time I've ever told a woman to eat shit in my life. And it felt so awesome. But she got mad at me before that because I wasn't hanging out with her during the show. And I'm like, hey, this is my show. I'm working. I can't sit well. And then, yeah, I just, that's really the only time. And I've been single for a while. I had a girlfriend for about a year, and she might have come to like 2 or 3 shows. But again, like, I don't remember her seeing me. Like, she would get there late, or I brought a tape of a show home and she watched it there. But I think the only reason she watched it was because her friend was staying with us that weekend, and the friend wanted to see it. The joke kind of involved my ex-girlfriend. So like, she picked up a cat on the side of the road and brought it home, and it ended up being somebody else's cat. Like, she picked the cat up from its own driveway. So she basically kidnapped a cat. So I told that story on stage. She wanted to see it. So, but nothing really awkward has happened because of that. Like, because I've had a girlfriend there or a date there. So I'm the wrong guy to ask that. I'm like perpetually single, so it doesn't happen. So
you can be perpetually single and still not want certain people there for the show. My big thing is like, not even romantic interests. If I've even like casually mentioned I might have been interested in somebody and they show up to one of those shows, done. But I also can't like date half of the county anymore because I've already done that. So that's where we differ. I think like I have a rule about like certain types I won't date. Like, yours was a physical with the ear gauges.
Yeah.
Mine is comedians, radio DJs, auto mechanics, Best Buy asset protection, that one guy at Lens Crafters, and then anybody who lives where I live.
Wait, Jimmy at Lens Crafters?
James.
Yeah, oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, Jimmy for me. Yeah, that's weird. No. May I ask, outside of like the obvious, like you don't want to mix business with pleasure. Is there anything about comedians that you find completely unappealing?
Most of them are not. Okay, well, there's a lot. Like, if we're not going to get personal. So,
no names.
No, of course not. That's, I'm not getting sued. So a lot of them, I've come to figure out, it's kind of like when somebody says they're self-employed. And like, I'm self-employed, so I kind of get it. When they're like, oh, yeah, I'm a comedian. I'm like, so you sleep until 2 p.m. You get up, pour yourself a bowl of cereal, maybe a drink, and then you go sit at the bar with your friends, tell a couple jokes, and then who's paying our bills? Because I know what a comedian makes. Who's paying our bills?
Okay.
The other one is like, I will be honest, even people that are well known as comedians around here in New York, I don't find me funny, but there are some comedians you see and you're like, oh yeah, no, they're great. They're great. And then there's ones here that they're like, yeah, I worked that into my bit this week. And I'm like, I saw it sucked. They don't like when you do that. They don't like if you tell them they're not funny.
I heard something today. Nikki Glaser said it on Anna Faris is Unqualified. And Nikki said something where it's like, I think the exact phrase was, women laugh at men because it's self-defense. Or something like that. Like, yeah, it's something like that. Not self-defense. It's like women laugh at men to be like protect themselves because they don't want to be murdered. Like, it's like, right. It's like okay, so... So I am a threat. And like my friend, I'm like, so is this right? And she goes, oh, absolutely. And then she's like, but I think you're funny. I'm like, well, you're a liar. But like I was like, oh, okay. That makes complete sense. Like women will laugh because they don't want in the like the anger to turn to violence or whatever.
The egos for comedians are a lot like, and again, not mentioning names, but like some of your egos are big fish, little pond. And I get that comes with like, you have to build your confidence up. Like there's two kinds of comedians. There's big ego or so depressed we're only doing this because we're not going to kill ourselves yet, which is cool. I get it. Mental health is a thing, but like find a happy medium. I can't do the coping mechanisms that come with a comedian as one who's not good myself. Another not good comedian is a turnoff for me.
Yeah. It's like two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah. That's kind of like why I'm not interested in chicks. Like there's two of the problem area. There's two of them now and I won't do it. So you're talking about, you know, you're going to wake up and you're still going to be a piece of shit. So I actually found last week, I was doing my usual working at 4 o'clock in the morning and watching my crime documentaries. Cause I'm not a murderer, but like if I wanted to be one, I want to know how I'm doing it.
It's good studying. That's why I watch SVU.
Oh, this is the right podcast for that comment.
I called my brother-in-law one time. My brother was a cop. I called him and I said, like, I'm a huge SVU fan. And I said, hey, hypothetically, say I would, you know, be out there and like I would describe him this, not like a rape or a murder, but like I think it was, say, you know, I accidentally hit a car or a police car or whatever. What would that be? And he goes, what the fuck did you do now? Like he was like I'm like, no, hypothetically, like I wanted to see how far I could push the law without really paying for it. And he's like, get help.
Like, call a lawyer. Don't even. Yeah. All never happened. Call a lawyer. What are you doing?
Exactly. Like, stop drinking, man. Just stop.
So I'm watching some show. I think it was Netflix, and it was something that sounds a lot like I'm a killer, or I killed somebody, or like how to not kill somebody, something like that. And there was some guy on it who was talking about this murder he committed, and I have a thing for felons. It's the type that I haven't. Like, I got rid of comedians and DJs, but like felons, like. Whatever. So there's at least like eight around me at any time. So
comedians are just felons who haven't been caught yet.
Well, that's also Best Buy asset protection. Yeah, same people. Jimmy. It's Jimmy and James from LensCrafters. I'm watching this and I was like, maybe it's because I've had 3 cups of coffee, but he's kind of hot. So I looked up his case because I have no shame, just to see like what happened, you know? And I find this, when I type in his name, I find this website called Wire of Hope. And listen, when I said I have a thing for felons, I didn't mean this far. So it is a incarcerated person, and they use that term a lot, dating site. It is people in prison, men, looking for a companion and a pen pal. And it goes through like what they're looking for in a woman, what their favorite type of woman is, what their music is, if they have a family. And then you go all the way through it. And like, yeah, there's a lot of them with like swastikas on their forehead or like incarcerated, and it, like the bios, I love it. The bios always say, don't judge me for what I've done in the past. I'm paying for it. And like, it gets better because it comes up. There's a little tab on the side that says reason for incarceration. And I saw one and I was like, all right. And he's like, I love taking a woman out. I love romantic dinners, hoping to be out of here by 2032. And I was like, I got a shot because I'm great with long distance. Like, I don't have to see you. I don't really have to talk to you. I don't have to cook for you. We can stay this jail thing. Like, I'm thinking of ways this can work, right? He's getting out in like 2032, pending, you know, parole or whatever. And I click on his charges, and he's just got done talking about how he loves taking a woman out and he loves spoiling her. His charges are like kidnapping, aggravated assault, attempted murder, coercion, sex trafficking, like everything but taking my kidney.
He obviously took a woman out and kept her somewhere. So he's not being, I mean, he's, you know, kind of omitting some details. Is it
like car salesmen where they're like, you're like, hey, has it ever been in an accident? And they're like, look at these new fucking headlights. Let me tell you. Did you see the sunroof? It doesn't open, but did you see it? Did you see it?
Right.
So there was another one and I was like, oh, this guy's never getting out. I got a shot. Cause like your next thought is, okay, first off, and these are things that actually go through my head to justify that I'm not going to die alone. I'm like, okay, first off, if he never gets out of prison, I don't have to deal with him coming here. But what if he does? Like, what if he gets out and he's like, hey, babe, I'm out. Like, do I got to pack up and move? Like, I don't want him here.
Well, you can't. I mean, if he gets out, like, does he escape or is he paroled out?
Either way. I mean, I'll take either. It's probably love of my life's probably going to climb through a tunnel. But like, I don't want, it's another child to take care of.
Yeah,
like,
but think about all the ramen he'll bring to the relationship.
Oh, ramen burritos. I already got the hooch recipe from you. I don't really need this guy.
Right. No, that's a good point.
I mean, do the pros, like, having to tell your family, like, how do you tell your family, like, hey, I wrote letters to some guy, and he's getting out of prison in 11 years, and it's fine. It was a small bank heist. He was young. You know, it was last year. It's fine. And yeah,
did you ever watch Problem Child?
No, I don't even know what that is.
No, it was like a movie in, like, 1990, 1991.
No, I wasn't born then.
Oh, I'm sorry. How old are you?
Old enough to know that. That was
not answer that question.
Said that, yeah.
Everybody I talk to, I feel like is 35 or above. Like, that's it. But Problem Child was like, for me, that was like a staple of my life, like my childhood. And what happens is this 8-year-old redheaded kid, he likes this dad. Like, his mom dies and his dad dates somebody else. So, but the kid has a pen pal who's in jail. Do you know Seinfeld at least?
I am aware of who Seinfeld is.
Okay. So Kramer, Michael Richards, plays a prisoner, and he gets out, and, like, he ends up fucking, the stepmom. Just complete animalistic sex. So, like, that's something, like, if the guy does get out, pops in, like, if you're up for that, he is your guy. Now, he might, you know, use your skin as a lamp, like you said, but, like, you know, you'd have sex first.
Yeah, I got a pro on the list now. I mean, I was having a hard time finding some, but now you got some. Is like, he's going to jerk off to men, use me for about 15 seconds, and then skin me. Yeah, no, there were no pros to this until now. You're right.
So you got
and
that.
Ramen burritos. And
right, of course. You're not going to do... Listen, it's either that or a guy in Rome.
Oh, God. They're the same person.
But this guy might actually have a doctorate.
Oh my God, that's the worst part. The education system is so much better in the jail library. I can guarantee the guy has read at least 2 books that didn't have pictures in them,
like, easily, guaranteed. And he probably drew his own pictures, so, like, now he's an artist.
So, and when you go through this website, because I'm like, this can, so they word it very vaguely. They're like, these are prisoners who are, and they are, I'm sorry, incarcerated individuals who are looking for a pen pal. But then, like, you see the picture of this inmate, you see their stuff, you see their charges, and it's like one of them. And I'm like, wow, these are really specific pen pals, until I got to the guy that was like, I want a big titty bitch. And I was like, these are not pen pals anymore, I don't think. So they charge the prisoners to put up these dating profiles. They literally charge the prisoners. It's like $30 for a bio, $5 for a picture, $5 to change it. These women are making money off these incarcerated men just trying to get some titty pics.
Wait a minute. Oh, hold on. Like the, who charges them? Like the prison system, like they have to pay the warden for permission to put everything on, or the women control it. So, like, the men are throwing pictures at them and paying, like, their, you know, phone cards.
Yes.
No shit.
It's 2 women, not the warden. If it was the warden,
oh, man,
such a better story. It's 2 women who found the loves of the love of their lives through this system. And by that, I mean, they literally found serial killers and started writing to them. Another, remember Charles Manson had that young wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing, but with normal looking women.
I have a theory, and I use this as a joke, but my theory is, like, the loneliest, the only way I'll find true love is to go to jail. Because, like, I've never met or seen a prisoner on a show who is single. Like, they all go in there with girlfriends, or they find a wife on the inside. And, like, I don't understand that. Like, not that I'm looking super hard for a woman, but, like, my best shot is going to jail for murder, and then I'll get all the letters. Because women are a little fucked up when it comes to that. Like, they want the really fucking bad guys. A
couple of us are familiar with inmate calling solutions in this chat. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't mean anything. So you put a little money down, and they use the payphone, and, you know, there's a couple guards who listen in, and they chuckle too, and we all have a nice laugh about, like, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's not a thing. Yep. That's, you should go to prison. That's what I've learned. You should go to prison. You are going to find yourself a woman or a handsome man, whatever.
The thing is, yeah, I'm not picky. Thing is, like, you got to go for, like, the right reason. Like, I imagine, like, oh, okay, you know, I've defunct on, like, child. I don't even know. Like, I'm not married. I forget what that term is. But, like I have a child support. No. Maybe that's the one. Maybe I need to go to jail for child porn. And that'll get me the women.
This was a great podcast episode. No.
You're losing you.
Damn, the internet during COVID is just not going as strong.
You just can't trust it. It's so weird. I do think like if you go in there like for failure to pay child support, are people going to want you? Probably not. But if it's like double homicide, it's like, ooh, that guy really knows how to get things done.
Yeah,
he's a go-getter.
Like, so if you don't pay child support, I just already know you're a broke ass. Like, you're screwed.
Right.
You're not paying it, so now you're going to go to jail. Like, oh, great. So you didn't pay your bills when you were out, too. Homicide, I'm like, was it for money? Was it for drugs? Do you know
that
well? Like, it gets interesting. There's a backstory to it.
Right. Like, are you a hitman? Can you follow orders? Man. You know, it's that's what you want in your life.
Can you follow orders? Yeah, I've been going for the wrong type of criminal is what I've learned. This podcast has been eye-opening. Holy.
I'm obsessed with all that murder stuff. Like, I love, I'm listening to My Favorite Murder Now, the podcast. And like, I Am a Killer might be the one you're talking about on Netflix. I watched that. Yeah. And basically anything I can watch, like procedural stuff, I really get a kick out of that stuff. I don't know why. It's not like a porn obsession, because like I've only jerked off to like, you know, a severed body once or twice.
The children, apparently.
No, well, I don't know. They parts of them maybe, because like they were dismembered, but I don't know. Like, but I find the inner workings of the like criminal mind really fascinating, and like Law and Order SVU is. The courtroom stuff, I mean, it's basically a perfect show. But the courtroom stuff doesn't really excite me much. But finding that asshole, or, you know, when Fred Savage is defending him or his own, like, rape case, and then he gets murdered. But, like that stuff is fucking fantastic.
That specific episode tonight after this.
It's so good. I'm going to guess it's, like, season 6 or 7. But I wish I had that memorized. But... it's great. I can tell you the whole episode in like 20 minutes and I could, you know, save you some time. But I like that stunt casting where it's like, okay, well, here's Fred Savage. You haven't seen him since the Wonder Years, or that time on Boy Meets World where Corey pushed him through a window, like our door. But like, here's Fred Savage. It's like, wow, Kevin Arnold grew up and he raped somebody. That's amazing. Good for him. I mean, like Winnie Cooper, that's what you did to him. Like, you should have just stayed with him forever and he wouldn't be in the prison system. Or
my
murdered.
Favorite is Ice-T Cube.
Ice-T Cube? Yeah, that's a good one. I don't think that's one guy, though.
We weren't allowed a lot of television, again, as a child. You can bring up your Winnie Cooper. All you want means nothing.
Oh, I will.
You bring up Ice-T. Which one is Cube?
Ice Cube is like Friday.
Which one is Cube?
Cube?
Hey, fight movie.
Yeah.
Charlie Day. That I know. Yeah,
what's the name of that movie, though? Like, it's something fight. Yeah, I never watched it. But yeah, that's Ice Cube. Ice-T is in Law and Order SVU.
Okay, say you're talking to somebody back when you tried using Hot or Not, Rate My Poo, whatever, 87 years ago. And somebody said, what was an automatic turnoff for something they said to you? Like, what was just, you were like, you know what? No, I gotta go.
I honestly don't think that's ever happened.
Because you've never talked to anybody?
I rarely did anyway. I think when I was on... I was on OkCupid for a while. I think my account still exists, but like a friend of mine back in like 2008, 2009, she's like, you got to get on that. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And I had time at work. So I answered like 40 or 50 questions. But I think I had conversations, like pretty long conversations with a couple of people, but I'm not one to like, one, I don't know how to end a conversation. So this podcast might last like 6 hours. Yeah, I don't know how to say goodbye. Yeah, and like, I don't think there's ever been something that has turned me away. I think if somebody says hi and then it's awkward from the start, that might do it. But I've never had somebody like just be a complete turnoff right away. Like, they haven't said something fucked up. So I don't know what that would take. And now, you know, I've been a comedian for 4 years. So now I think that wouldn't matter to me anyway. I would just kind of see where the conversation went and maybe I could get some material out of it. So I would use it like a sociological experiment. So I'm not the guy to ask for that.
Yeah, that's not the same thing for me. Do you want to know what mine was?
Yeah, definitely.
He said out of nowhere that he hated chocolate and that vanilla was the superior flavor from all the complexities, and he was a chef. And I instantly said, hey, fuck you, buddy. And then I stopped talking to him.
Okay, so I don't disagree with him that vanilla is superior to chocolate on some things, but like the reasoning is so weird. Like it's so oddly specific. It's like, all right, we're done. Like I would think I can't compete with you mentally, so we're done.
Like he had been asked that question so many times, it bothered him to have to give the excuse again. He's like, oh no, I never liked chocolate. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I've heard of that before. And he's like, honestly, it disgusts me. And I was like, whoa, buddy. All right, now you're getting personal.
I just feel like, hey, are we talking about chocolate or people? Because like that's,
No,
it's weird. Okay.
I mean, no, definitely not a people thing. He came right out and said that he despised chocolate because vanilla had more complexity and profiles in the flavor or something. Yeah, and he wanted to fight this to the death. And I was like, no, you know what? It's just easier to block you now. Like,
yeah, I can see that.
For me. Yeah, like it wasn't so much the actual argument we were having. It was the way he got so defensive over vanilla. And I was like, if you're this defensive over that, like what? No, it was totally the argument. I don't know how you can like vanilla better. That's like saying white chocolate's a real chocolate.
I don't mind. Like I like vanilla. I think I do prefer vanilla over chocolate, but like not all the time. Like it's like, I like mint chocolate chip better than vanilla. Like chocolate to me,
it
complements other things better than vanilla. So like, I don't know. Like I probably do like vanilla more than chocolate, but I like a chocolate bar better than a vanilla ice cream.
There's certain times for everything. Vanilla ice cream is meant for like apple pie and like.
Yes, exactly.
Fucking weird bland people's shit. Okay. And then chocolate, like you don't eat a vanilla brownie. That's called a blondie. It's not even the same thing. There's different.
I didn't know that existed.
I'm so worked up about this right now because that one fuckhole didn't like chocolate. Like it set my whole night off now. Yes. It's a thing. You can't. You can't sit here and tell me that like the least that's like going, oh, beige is my favorite color. Okay, good for you. Why is that? It's just so much better than the other colors.
Oh man, that's so weird.
It's not the weirdest reason that a conversation has ever gone south, but it definitely made me reevaluate. Like I literally deactivated my POF that night. I was like, I'm done with this. I am happy to die alone. Like if this is what life has in store for me, I'm done with it. I don't want this anymore. Do you ever use the Facebook dating?
Yeah, no, I always thought like Facebook dating, it was like just me scrolling through somebody's summer beach shots. I'm like, oh yeah, she's cute. Like more cleavage.
What I do to your profile now?
Yeah.
What basically. I've been doing to your profile for a year. And I'm like, yeah, he's not bad looking.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's kind of like that. So let's go. Like you use Bumble. So like the thing I don't like about Bumble is like it's the same guys on every dating app, except with Bumble, you have to message them first.
Yeah.
So like we have to proactively ignore all of the red flags we know about you if we want a chance to talk to you and have you prove us right. So with Facebook dating, it gets kind of funny because you find out who's interested in you or who matched you, and then it tells you all of your mutual friends with that person, all the groups you're in together. So I've learned the hard way that I can't match with any of Phil Farta's friends because that's they're all the same person.
Yep.
It tells you, like, you can go through and you'll see, like, it'll be like this person and this person and this person are friends with them, and you're like, oh, so he's got a coke problem. All right, next. Like, you can go through and see all those things. Or my favorite is when you start to go through it, there will be ones that say it'll ask their employment and they can put in whatever they want. But because you know the mutual friends, now you can go creep. So if your buddy Tim is friends with this guy hitting on you, I can go to Tim's profile, find him, find out he's not self-employed. He says he works at the School of Hard Knocks and he has a warrant. So it's a double-edged sword because you're like, where's the mystery? Am I still going to get murdered? Am I still going to like figure out he's a piece of shit on my own? Or can I just go through my friends list? You're missing out. It's a fun Snoop game.
Yeah. I would be afraid that I'd see like my Aunt Jeannie on there. I'm like, oh, does she want to get together again? Is that what's going on? I might've said too much. I don't know.
Listen, after we've already been through the pterodactyl porn and the child porn, the weird soup that you're feeding your women that's actually dog food, I feel like we've hit the boundary. So
we actually had to break Mike's episode into two parts. The second part will be coming soon. And in the meantime, thanks for listening to Plenty of Cringe.